Good morning and grand rising, or good evening and grand rising if you are where I am right now. We are here with another episode of the Who Do and Chill podcast. I am Sir Bayo, your host, your narrator, and also your escort tonight as we deep dive into a very, very intriguing story, to say the least, that I think will either intrigue your mind, spark your interest a little bit more as it relates to the practice or even this portion of the practice. It may inspire some of you. It may even trigger some of you emotionally. But nonetheless, welcome. If this is your first time joining us here with Who Do and Chill, we are going to be discussing a saint. I'm pretty sure many of you have heard of her before in your history classes. Maybe you've even seen a few movies or articles about her. Even if you know the story, I ask you to open up your mind today, because the way we like to deliver information here on Who Do and Chill, it's different. And I would like to say myself and experience. So today we are going to be discussing Joan of Arc. And why is Joan of Arc important? Why would she even be correlated with the practice? Who was she? What does she have to do with anything correlated with hoodoo and voodoo? Well, I'm going to talk about that later, but first, I want to introduce you all to who she is. I'm going to tell her story. And by the end of this episode, I'm going to offer you all a small blueprint on how to get started if you feel in your spirit you want to add Saint Joan to your pantheon or to your spiritual court. So sit back and relax. This is going to be a very entertaining story, I think, for many of you, the way that I'm going to deliver this information. The Hoodoo and Chill podcast will return after this short ad break.
Why make major decisions without knowing the outcome beforehand? Would you like to know where your relationship is headed or what the future holds in store for you? Sir Bayo and I want to assist you in making all the right decisions so that you may live your best life. Are you seeking a new career? Does your love life need insight? Or maybe you want to connect with your ancestors or past loved ones? The realm of divination holds all the answers to your future. Allow us to use our psychic abilities, bone reading, cartomancy, tarot, and mediumship to uncover the answers to your future. Go to hoodooconjurerootwork.com under classes and services to book your appointment today. Your spirit guides are waiting to speak to you. That's hoodooconjurerootwork.com to uncover your destiny today.
Hey family, it's Sir. I need a favor. Please make sure that you're subscribed or following our podcast. And when the show is over, do us a favor and leave us a 5-star comment on Apple and let us know how much you enjoyed today's episode. Now, back to the show. Joan of Arc, or La Pucelle, which means a maiden or a virgin, is what she liked to refer to herself as, was born in France in a small town called Lorraine. She was born in the year 1412. Now, where she's born plays a very significant emphasis on this story as I open up further about her life. There had been many prophecies that spoke of a virgin who would derive from specifically this town in France called Lorraine. For those of you who are familiar with more pagan occulticism,
Merlin, the magician, even prophesied that a maiden would come from the forests of France and save the people. There was also a local folk legend that spoke of a virgin specifically coming from Lorraine who would save France. Now, I think that's very significant because Joan of Arc is such a very complex character as it relates to spiritually, as it relates to being gifted, even as it relates to her mental. Very complex. Now, the first theory that I'm going to throw out to you all is that imagine being a young girl, a peasant, illiterate, and your mother is a mystic herself. Most people don't know that her mother was a mystic. There's even tales that her mother traveled all the way to Rome for pilgrimage. So she grew up in a very, very devout religious family. She grew up around folklore. I'm wondering, did she model her life story or her life, or did she model herself after this folk legend, which spoke of a virgin who would deliver the people of France? Now, the first person portion of her life story, I like to call the calling or the assignment, because I think that a lot of you can look at this and relate it to your own lives. The moment when you felt your calling or your assignment, or maybe you are currently in this place where you are feeling your calling or your assignment, or maybe for many of you, I know many of you who listen to this podcast, you are in a space where you are just now being exposed to your gifts and to your higher spiritual self. So let's talk about Joan and when she was exposed to her higher spiritual self. Around the age of 13, Jeanne speaks on how, as she was going through her puberty, she went through a spiritual change within herself as well. She began to have visions. She began to hear voices. For those of you who study the arts or who are in the practice, you would call this today, she was tapping into her seership. Some of you might call her an oracle. At 13 years old, she started experiencing these sensations. She speaks about how she was visited by three specific saints. The first being Saint Michael, the archangel. She said it was the first voice that she heard. And for those of you who don't know, Saint Michael is petitioned or worked with for deliverance from enemies. He's a protector. Protector of evil, harm, if you want victory or domination over someone, the archangel Saint Michael is who you go to. Saint Michael would also be considered a hot saint. And what is a hot saint? One whose approach or how they choose to deal in matters on your behalf may not always be so benevolent or what you would expect of a saint, okay? You see, Saint Michael, the archangel, is a warrior, and he will enact justice. So that is the first saint or spirit, however you want to relate to them, that she said came to her. The next, or the other two, I don't know in which succession they came, she said, was Saint Catherine, who is a saint of femininity, visions, dreams, as well as public speaking. I wrapped that into a ball of influence as well as divinity. Lastly, Saint Margaret, who is also a patron saint of those who are falsely accused. If you need justice, people who are on the underbelly of society, maybe homeless people or people who are underprivileged. Also, and this is very important to notate as well, the mentally insane or people who are mentally ill, I would like to prefer to use the term mental health. Now, John's mental health is going to play a heavy factor in this story later on. I want you all to question portions that I'm going to talk about. Was she really receiving messages from divine source, or was this something that she was conjuring up in her head? Now, what were these visions that she was getting from her saints? They were telling her that she was going to be the leader, that she was going to lead France out of this oppression that they were in. Now, this is a relatable piece of this story because some of you, and I know this because I've spoken to you personally, have had the same sensations since you were a child. You only do yourself an injustice not acknowledging what is going on with you or not acknowledging what is going on with your children. And for many of you, a lot of what is now fully materializing itself as spiritual gifts started off as just sensations. Here you have a 13-year-old illiterate peasant girl from the middle of nowhere. Let's talk about the backdrop of her life before she even went on her assignment, because this is important. The Hundred Years' War was going on. For those of you who don't know what that is, it was a conflict. It was a war that was going on between England and France. So she wasn't growing up in a poppy field. She was growing up in the midst of violence, death, chaos. She was living her life in a war-torn country. I think a lot of you can personalize that as well, that when your gifts start to manifest, when you start to peak spiritually, when you start to have those encounters with your higher self, most of the time, your backdrop is chaotic. Most of the time, you are in a place where you yourself may need some saving, cleansing, healing, understanding, or maybe, just maybe, Spirit is calling upon you, giving you an assignment to heal and to save others. How many of us are willing to tackle or even acknowledge what our assignment is when the backdrop isn't so pretty? When you are in the face of struggle, when you are in the midst of chaos, when your life is on the verge of uncertainty, and Spirit gives you a divine revelation, how many of you would have the faith of an illiterate 13-year-old girl to truly believe in what your calling is despite what everything else looks like? I think this is something to really meditate on in her story. There's a war going on that's been fought before you were even born, before you even thought about. And in the midst of it all, you have so much faith in your spirit guides that you truly believe that you shall be the conqueror in a time where women weren't even considered citizens and had absolutely no rights, let alone a voice. What makes you think that you will wield a sword? And I question how you that are listening, how many of you have faith like that?
The Hoodoo and Chill podcast will return after this short ad break.
Hey, are you enjoying the show? If so, don't forget to follow Hoodoo and Chill on Apple and Spotify. and leave us a 5-star rating. Tell us what you love about the show in the reviews. We love to hear from you. To keep this free content on air, please support the show by sending a donation of love using one of the donation links in the descriptions. Donations keep our podcasts alive and also give us the ability to enhance our content. We graciously thank you for your support. Now, back to the show.
I want to thank the owners and the editors and the writers of occultworld.com. I encourage you all to take a look at that website. It's a really cool website. They have some really good articles. A lot of what I'm going to read is pulled from an article from their website. I thought it was probably the least biased, as well as offered a lot of information, not only historically, but spiritually as well, because that is essentially what we're here for, to understand how we can tie these figures into our own practice. And I ask that you stay with me, because like I said, I'm going to talk to you guys about how to work with St. John and how she actually does tie into the hoodoo and voodoo practice as well. Okay, so back to her story. At this time, the crown of France was in dispute between the Dauphin, which is the Prince Charles, and the son of King Charles VI and the English, who held control over portions of France. When Jeanne was 16, she went to see the Dauphin. She got enough courage, enough strength in her to say, you know what? It's my time. I'm ready to follow through with my assignment. Now, what a lot of people don't talk about is that when she first went to see him, she was not received. As a matter of fact, they turned her down. As a matter of fact, if you are familiar with her story, this is where the first insinuations of witchcraft and magic, sorcery, divination, all of those whispers about who she was. Imagine the time, guys. It's the 1300s. The church is the head and the state. Most people are colloquially religiously fanatical. She comes to this palace, probably in torn, tattered clothes. She's dirty. And she says to these men, I am a seer, I'm a mystic, a Christian mystic, and I have visions that I am going to save our people. They laughed in her face. They turned her away. It wasn't until the following year, in 1429, when she actually was received by the Dauphin. And it wasn't easy. She literally had to convince the captain of his guard that she still was not a sorceress, that she wasn't someone who dabbled in witchcraft and sorcery and all of these things. Little did she know, in today, in 2022, what we would consider what she was doing was saint magic, truth be told. What she was doing, we literally will put that under the guise of, you know, magic with the saint. They didn't just let her in. The Dauphin said he's going to test her. So they brought her into this court full of men. And the prince didn't dress as a royal. He dressed like, you know, like a regular commoner, like amongst his men. He dressed the same way as they did. The first act of her divinity that she performed amongst these soldiers and these men and these nobles was she was able to pick out the Dauphin amongst all of the men in that court. They gasped. They were astonished. The Dauphin was intrigued. He decided to have a conversation with her, give her some time. And this is when she really blew his mind away. She told him things that only he would know about himself. She knew personal things, even down to she knew which daily prayer he said every day. Now, I want you to imagine the state of this country. They're desperate. They have no money. And here you have this Christian mystic who comes and she knows things and she's claiming to save you. They believed her. Not only did she say that she was going to save the people, she was also going to put the Dauphin on the seat of the throne. He gives her an army. She's 17 years old, and she leaves his palace, his castle, what have you at that time, with an army. Now, this is where the story gets a little tricky and where you're going to have to make your own, come to your own conclusion about her mental health, her sanity, and just even her ego a little bit. She goes to battle and she wins. She actually is able to free the town of Orléans. And within her doing that, it was able to shift the course of the war. France was no longer controlled by England. Now, I want to take a break here, because this is where Spirit has really brought me to give my message and to drop my gem. Because I think a lot of times what we do is that we get an assignment and then we over encumber ourselves by going above and beyond what Spirit asks of us. You see, sometimes obedience is not you going above and beyond. Sometimes obedience and what is being required of you is to follow directions. Her directions were to save the people of France, and she did that. How many times have we been given a directive by Spirit? We do it, and then we stay in something thinking that we're helping the situation. But what was once such a beautiful place of power, revelation, and fellowship for us now turned chaotic because we stayed in something longer than where we needed to be. How many times were you sent to a place or in a situation or around people and Spirit sent you there to heal and you overstayed your welcome and what was healing turned into something else? Or maybe your good juju, your good spirit wasn't as appreciated as it could have been if you just would have came and did what you were asked to do and let Spirit do the rest. And what I'm talking about, in my opinion, I think relates a lot to her story in the next piece of what comes next and where she found herself. Because true obedience is literally doing what you're told and what you're asked to do. You see, we create this vision in our heads when we are pulling from our ego that we're actually doing something good. And sometimes, a lot of times, overstepping creates more chaos than what it's worth. And you'll see that as we jump back into our story with Jean. So she wins the battle. And this is where I want to humanize her. I mean, because let's think about it, right? Because she's canonized the saint 200 years after her death. Okay, but before that, they martyred her as a witch. Let's humanize her for 1 second. You're 18 years old. You are basically a celebrity now. You have won the battle. You are that girl. She was probably the most famous girl in all of France, if not person at that time. Now, one thing to mention about her when she went into battle, Jean did not go into battle dressed as a woman. She dressed as a man. She cut her hair. She wore men's armor. You know, a part of me wants to believe that she was probably non-binary or didn't even see herself as you know, just a mere woman. You know, she died literally a virgin. And I don't know, but my spirit just tells me that there was something there that she just probably didn't, couldn't just see herself as just, oh, I'm just a girl. I'm just, you know, I don't know. I felt like she herself truly believed or felt that she was divine. And like I said, you know, around this time, she's famous. She's done something. She's accomplished a great feat. The Dauphin's actually crowned the king, you know, due to her efforts. I mean, everyone is singing praises of Jeanne. She is the savior. She is the hero. She is the champion of France, a woman, a peasant girl around this time. She doesn't stop. She goes back into battle. And in my opinion, I think this is where the story kind of takes a turn for the left. And this is where I feel like she overextended what spirit asked of her, because she goes back into battle. But it isn't like the first time. It isn't like the Battle of Orleans, where she just won. And on May 23rd, 1430, Jeanne attempted to raise siege at Compiègne. I hope I'm saying that right. She was unhorsed and captured and imprisoned in a castle by the Duke of Burgundy, an ally of the English. She unsuccessfully attempted to escape by jumping out of the tower into the moat, but didn't hurt herself seriously. In exchange for 10,000 francs, the Duke of Burgundy turned over Jeanne to the bishop. It was to the intent of the English to execute Jeanne. But first, they set out to discredit her as a witch and thus weaken the king, Charles VII. So this is where, and literally this is my theory before I get back into her story. I think this is where her ego got twisted, right here. Right here in this moment, I think that she was feeling herself and she went back out there and spirit was no longer with her. That's my opinion on it, because she wasn't asked to do all of that. Spirit said to go save the people. She did that, and she should have just stopped and reveled in her glory and left it alone there. I think she got power hungry. I also think, just based on some historical things as it relates to her personality, her intenseness, that there definitely was some bipolar there. Some people even hint at, you know, a few symptoms of schizophrenia, you know. I do not believe during this time, that the messages that she was receiving were messages that were from spirit. And this is probably the most serious portion of her story versus anything else that I've said, because I see a lot of people. Well, I don't want to say a lot of people, but I've seen it many of times, people kind of walking themselves into this path and into this power and into this place of ego. You know, you may be a talented card reader, but all of a sudden you develop this aptitude about yourself that you are the all seer of everyone's life. And now you're constantly in a place where you're overextending yourself, doing more than what your assignment is. Your assignment is to read your cards and to inspire people and help people get insight on their lives. Your assignment is not to be a therapist in everyone's life every single time they open up their mouth with a problem. Or for you to develop this attitude that you are the know-all, see-all, be-all, and all should come to you. Or because you happen to be a talented practitioner, maybe you have a few 10, 12, 20, or 100 people that you know, you minister to and your group is popping and all of those type of things. But then you start to develop this God complex that your teachings and only your way is the way. You see, Jeanne was like that. She was very judgmental of other people. People don't speak on this, you know, that she really had this way about her, that she wanted people to follow God the way that she did. She wanted everyone's beliefs to be in alignment with her. She was not very open as it related to other people and was actually very intense about that as well. But I think a lot of us have unfortunately fallen victim to this energy, or even to just being susceptible here. You know, me, myself included, you know, there's nothing wrong with gloating every once in a while. There's nothing wrong with reveling in your blessings or in your accomplishments. You know, I encourage all of you to be confident in your gifts, in your craft, in your knowledge, and most importantly, in who you are. But there has to be a balance between when you are being confident and when you're being overbearing and when you're overstepping. And for those of you who claim or who have proven to be divine, or who can divine or are just gifted in that area, I say to you, you know, tread lightly and tread cautiously. Your gifts are privileges. And spirit will open up the door for you to see some things, but not all things. And for anyone even trying to adorn that aptitude, they are walking in the energy of a heretic. And that is what they call Jean before they took her life. A heretic. The English could not fathom that a girl, an illiterate girl, had led an entire army to take over them. They couldn't believe it. And just like many of you who will go out here and do amazing things with your gifts, there will still be those who can't believe it, won't believe it, and will demonize you. And that's what they did to Jean. They called her a witch, conjurer, pervert, all of these things. They tortured her, and they took her and put her on trial. At her first informal hearing, she was verified as a virgin, which actually did weaken their case they had on her about witchcraft. In those day and ages, if you were a witch, you were not a virgin because you had to have had sex with the devil. So they didn't really try her so much or kill her for being a witch, but that was one of the many allegations that they had on her at her trial, that she had to have been involved in some form of occultic practices. Now, that helped her with her case, but it didn't fully make, they didn't dismiss it. They even had people that were character witnesses who spoke about her piousness and, you know, her duty and just how much of a good person she was, but that didn't help her at all either. Okay. Following her informal hearings, the clergy began interrogations. Basically, they tortured her in her prison cell. And even in that time, she still did not denounce her faith. She did not denounce her gifts. In fact, she acknowledged that she could see, kiss, and embrace the saints that she claimed to have given her visions and her gifts and to inspire her to do the things that she did. By the time they were done with her, now imagine this, you are 18-year-old, almost 19 around this time, young girl, you're being tortured, you're being starved, beaten, and at the end of all of that, she ends up, when she finally gets to court, okay, they did all of this to her before she got to court. By the time she got to court, she ended up in front of 37 different judges on 70 charges, some of them being sorcery, witchcraft, divination, pseudo-prophetess, meaning like a fake prophetess or somebody trying to persuade you that they are gifted when they're not, invoker of evil spirits, conjuration, as well as the arts of magic. Those were just a few of the 70 charges that they charged her with. I can only imagine her mental fragility at this time. You know, and just the things that she probably would have been saying to people. I mean, she already, her mental state at this point in time, I mean, at 18 years old, let's be real, you are not even that developed. Your brain is still developing at 18. And by the time this girl was 18, she had lived through war. She had led a war. She had been a mystic. And now she was on trial in front of 37 judges for 70 different charges because she was doing her duty as a spiritist. And actually won. They were only able to charge her with 12. Okay. The main ones were being heresy, refusing to accept authority of the church, as well as wearing men's clothes. Believe it or not, her wearing men's clothes was actually what sealed the deal on her death. Bi, homosexual, anything of that nature, because all of this in around that time was just seen as perverse. So they would have labeled her as a sexual deviant, as a pervert. How they could have done that when she was a virgin, I don't know. But it was just something about her wearing men's clothes that really just triggered this court. And that is truly what sealed the fate as it relates to her death. The church had actually given her a document to sign relinquishing her of her sins, and they were initially going to just put her in jail for life. Well, while she was in jail, she still was wearing men's clothing. And because of that, they labeled her heretic, a relapsed heretic, recanted her confession. And on May 30th, St. John was excommunicated as well as burnt at the stake as a heretic and witch. Even though her story isn't one of African or indigenous derivative, I think that is still such an inspiring religious piece with a lot of hints of occulticism that I think that if we can look at this life with an open lens, I think that there's relatability there for each and every last one of us. I think there's some strength there for each and every last one of us. I mean, because some of you, even though you may not physically, or your life may not necessarily be you leading an army into war, but it feels like that every day. I mean, some of you are really put in some real positions of power or leadership, or you are a leader in your family, or you're just the strong one, or you're just the one who tends to be a little bit more focused or has just a little bit more sight, where you have to be that guiding light, where you have to be the one to trust your spirits and believe in them, where your job is truly to lead other people to source. That is a real thing that some of you that I'm talking to right now are dealing with. And just like John, the backdrop is not pretty. You're doing your job and you're doing this amongst the midst of this climate and the things that you're dealing with personally as well. Then I think about those of you who are novice practitioners who are finding yourselves at the beginning of John's story, where you're discovering your gifts, you're getting these readings and these messages, and you don't always know where to go or how to interpret them. The uncertainty and just the anxiety that you're going through right now, knowing what to trust and learning what to decipher from what is spirit and what is you. And then there's some of you right now that I'm talking to, who did your duty. You helped. You were a light. You were a beacon of hope. You did everything right. And yet still, you were persecuted. Yet still, you ended up on the low receiving end of the stick or the bargain. I think this story, if we can look at it with an open lens, there's something there for each and every last one of you. And it makes sense as to why this saint was canonized 200 years after her death, and why this saint would be synchronized in our practice. If you feel compelled to work with Saint John, she is first in the pantheon of Louisiana Voodoo. She is also related to Ogu, an Afro-Brazilian religion. She is synchronized with Oya. In Haitian voodoo, she is synchronized with Erzurli Dantor. Her feast day is May the 30th. Her day of the week is Tuesday. Her emblem is a sign or a suit of armor. Horses, doves, swords, military banners, armor, they all are symbols of Saint John. And if you want to offer something to Saint John, she likes French food, like bread, French bread, toy horses, knights, little swords, water, especially if you're going to burn a candle. Always give a spirit water if you're going to work with them. I say that anyway. Her color candle is gray. And when you petition her to overcome enemies. You petition Saint John for courage, spiritual strength, freedom, and also from confining sensual situations. She is also the patroness of France as well as New Orleans, believe it or not. She is the patron saint of New Orleans. And also in the French Quarter, there is a statue of her. It's really pretty. It looks like gold. It's very beautiful. They have a whole statue of Saint Jean there on her horse. In hoodoo practices, she's typically called for assistance with courage, spiritual power, and also overcoming one's enemies. Saint Jean, for those of you who do not know, she is a hot saint. So let me just give you a little bit of me. I also got a lot of that information there from Charles C. Marlborough's book that I highly recommend to all of you all, The Magical Power of the Saints, okay? So if you haven't had an opportunity to get that book, it's great. It's a great little blueprint if you wanted to know just some extra information on the saints. Again, it's called The Magical Power of the Saints. But for those of you planning on working with her, I want you to be aware about something, okay? Come correct, okay? Saint Jean do not like swindlers, hustlers, peddlers, any of y'all that's, you know, I'm not judging you, do your thing. But she is very judgmental and she is a hot saint. And where she may enact justice for you, you may also find yourself getting chastised by her as well. So come correct, okay? She likes, you know, honestly, in my opinion, people who are a little bit more pious, you know, those of y'all who are a little bit more humble, I would say, dutiful religiously, I would not recommend, oh, I'm mad at somebody, I'm gonna call on Saint John. I would not say that. There are other saints for that. There are other ways if, you know, that's how you're feeling today. But she's not that type of saint. So don't, please understand that she's a hot saint, meaning that she will, is the type, how she does things may not always be as benevolent as you will want them. But for those of you who find yourself a little bit more under the umbrella of righteousness, piousness, you're not out here to hurt nobody. You're doing the right thing. And may if somebody would have, you know, truly have done you wrong, like you really haven't done anything, like you really are in need of justice, she is a great saint for that. Now, if you're calling on her for encouragement, spiritual encouragement, or you know, maybe just to be a little bit more dutiful as it relates to just, you know, like what you have going on, I think that she's a great saint for that. But I just want y'all to know that with everything that we do, there is a left hand, there is a right hand. And just because they are a saint does not always mean that their presence or the way that they do things are always saintly. For those of you who listen to Hoodoo and Chill, we talked about Saint Rita and how one practitioner had an experience where she felt like Saint Rita, you know, got her into a situation where a man cut her throat because Saint Rita didn't want her to have any men in the house. So know what you're doing, know how to do it, and always, my people, be cautious. I hoped that you all enjoyed listening to my version of the story of Joan of Arc. I know some of y'all heard it before, you know, in school or whatever, but I always think it's an amazing opportunity to just get, you know, information from a different source. I apologize for the little break that we've taken from Hoodoo and Chill, but we are back. And like I said, for this go around this season, our content is geared towards finding, you know, stories about people who may have been a little bit more controversial, spooky, you know. I think that's just kind of where we're going for this season. Also, we have some amazing things coming up next month for Hoodoo History Month, and I cannot wait to share that with you all. So, I want you all to leave tonight in love and peace and courage and strength. I send you out in blessings, and I sent you out mostly, importantly, in abundance. Spirit has been ministering to me this week on just letting you all know that what you're asking for right now, you deserve. And the blessings that you are about to receive, you deserve. And some of you need to get more comfortable in receiving in the things that you deserve. You work so hard, you put in so much. I want you to be comfortable receiving this abundance that I'm sending your way, that Spirit is sending your way, that your ancestors are opening up the door for you. I want you to be comfortable in receiving that. So with that, my people, remember that you are strong. You are powerful. You come from the best of the best. Your bloodline is divine, and so are you. And with that, I send you out in love and light, and I release you into the atmosphere. Thanks for listening to Hoodoo and Chill. Don't forget, donations of love keep our free content on air.